Hello and welcome to Camp Kaiju Monster Movie Talk. Bow, 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 bow. Tonight we are going live for our second installment of September series called For the Love of Craft, a series where I want to talk about some movies that are either adaptations of Lovecraftian monsters or inspired by them, or feature practical effects and like really show off the love that a lot of filmmakers have for their craft. It's a very large umbrella, but tonight we are talking about Color Out of Space, a 2019 movie that is a direct adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft short story. To help me talk about that, I've got Cameron Nelson, who runs All Inked Up, and I am waiting his reach to come onto the show. So, Cameron, if you're there, send a request. There it is. Bada bing. And for those of you who have been sticking around with the series, hey, Cameron.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm excited to talk about this movie.
Yeah, me too. And you're just the guy to come on and talk about it with. I was just going to say that you previously came to camp to talk about Pacific Rim a while back. So we're happy to have you back.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back.
Awesome. So I saw that you posted something that you had just recently seen this movie.
Mm-hmm. So I actually have a bit of a backstory with this movie. So I'll get that out of the way, because I think it's kind of interesting. So I've seen it twice. Okay. I saw it, a few weeks ago, maybe? Like, 2-3 weeks ago? Loved it. But this was the first, or the last movie I saw before the world shut down. So I went to this, like, 10 p.m. showing. There was, like, 4 other people in the auditorium. Yep. And it was, like, January 2020. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go see a movie next week. Like, going to go see Quiet Place 2 in, like, 2 weeks. So let's, like, go have fun with this. And then next thing you know, the world shuts down. So pretty great. Like, I got to say, if out of all movies I could have seen, I was going to go see the Grudge remake. Mm. Great decision to not see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad movie to end off that era of film.
So your story is actually a lot like mine. This wasn't the last movie I saw before the shutdown, but it was one of the last.
Mm-hmm.
The last movie I did see was The Invisible Man remake that came out. So like, that was a pretty good one to end up.
Yeah, there's a few movies that I really wish I could have seen before it shut down. But hey, we're back. We're back now, and theaters are open.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going. So, so you've seen it twice. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Were you familiar with this title before you saw the movie? Like, have you read the short story?
So I hadn't I hadn't directly read it. H.P. Lovecraft with his writings, they're very, I don't know how to explain it, like very retro. He uses a lot of big words, and my dumb brain has a hard time with all the big words. So I kind of read like a condensed, more modernized version of it, but It still had like all the normal story beats and stuff. It just, the wording was a little different so that my brain could wrap around it. And I wasn't just like, okay, that's a big boy word.
I'll tell you what, man, that you are not alone, to your credit. He uses a lot of big words.
Yeah.
In a very convoluted way on purpose. I think that is part of his way to sort of enhance the sense of of not knowing what is happening exactly.
I totally agree.
The world.
It feels like when you read, I have read some of his other works, like straight from him, they weren't edited or made more mainstream. And it's part of what makes his work so great is that on top of having the crazy cosmic brain explosions, you're he's like telling it in a way that's like very intellectual, and it's very complex. So on top of all the subject matter, you got these big words going at you, and you're like, "Whoa, my brain's
Yeah.
exploding!"
Big words, but also really
Great
obscure
words.
words. So they're not like like he's a little full of himself at some points,
Sometimes.
but you know, you appreciate it, right? 'Cause
Oh
it's
yeah.
that's his thing. That's what he does.
Right.
So the color out of space was actually, and I'm not going to profess to be any sort of literary master when it comes to Lovecraft. I've read a few of his stories. This was the
Yeah.
first one I ever read,
Wow.
and it did leave me with an impression of what? Like there's a monster, but the monster is a shapeless, colorless, like it's described as a color unknown to man.
Yeah, and part of what makes the color out of space such a like if you really think about it, it's such a simple concept that's been done to death so many different times in film, to lesser extents and to maybe equal extents as this one. But with this movie, like it's just I've said it before, I'll say it again, it captures that Lovecraft vibe to a T. It
Yes.
captures, 'cause like on one end, you got these crazy visuals and like a sense of dread throughout the entire movie. And then you lead into the third act where stuff just starts exploding and you're like, whoa, visuals, purple, and all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know what's going on, but I love it. And
Yeah.
but on the opposite end, you have Nick Cage being Nick Cage, and it adds to this like tone of like it's so wacky, but it works, and it's also like terrifying sometimes.
A couple points I want to build on to what you just said. First is the word dread. I think this movie, I mean, you could say that the movie feels long, and you know, it is a longer movie, but I see it as it's just a slow burn of that dread, and the horror comes from just this overwhelming, slowly building sense of dread. And
Yeah, it
I mean, there's no like overt, well, there are like some scenes of like really graphic horror, but most of it's mind games. It's a descent into madness. And I think that's hard to pull off. And I think the director, like he really knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he there's a sense with the sense of dread, it's like throughout the entire movie, there's really not much of any value happening for like 80 or so minutes until the third act. But and you would
Yeah.
and that sounds like, why would I watch that? It's like just skip to the good stuff. But like it's a mix of great writing and that sense of building dread that like when I saw it in the theater, I went in with really low expectations because it had a really low budget and I was like, oh, this might be like low budget trash, like how a lot of Lovecraft adaptations are, unfortunately. Which I found out the hard way. But I went into this and there were like four other people in the auditorium and they were all like Cthulhu shirts and like decked out, and I was like, this is the perfect crowd. And I
Nice.
just remember like it finished and I was like, I just sat in my chair, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And my dad looks over at me and he's like, that's the best Lovecraft movie I've ever seen. And
Oh, no doubt.
my dad is like, I consider myself a pretty hardcore fan, but he's like me times 100. And he grew up reading all this stuff, and he's such a diehard fan. And when like there's some visuals that you get in there that are like it paralyzes you almost, because you're sitting there and you're just watching all this unfold. And like it's just Richard Stanley does such a great job with the camera and like the color palette, especially in the third act when you get all the moss and like stuff growing everywhere, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
Beautifully
no.
terrifying.
Yeah, the visuals are stunning considering its budget.
Yeah.
I was like, are you sure this wasn't like a real studio movie? Like,
Yeah, and like
there's a
they
lot of
there's
care.
yeah, there's some CG effects definitely, but so like you don't even see that many like creatures or anything. It's just the color works
The
so
color.
well.
The
Yeah,
color.
like it sounds crazy because you're like, well, how would you be afraid of a color? But like you, it makes you afraid.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
like, oh, and like the color is so beautiful, but it's also like the lighting that they use with it. It makes it so you're like, oh my God, what is this? And it captures that feeling of Lovecraft where like a lot of the time not seeing what's going on makes it 100 times scarier. And
Right. And that's what I think this movie did so well. It leaves you, well, like for me personally, I really like Lovecraftian horror, but the point of his horror is to leave you with a complete sense of I don't know, nihilism, like nothing matters. It's all, we are just specks in this vast dust of space, and then there's a tentacled monster that's gonna ultimately destroy the world. Like there's not a lot of hope, right, at the end of his stories. Which and I'm just saying, like whether or not you dig that, this movie captured that, and then that is the spirit of a Lovecraft story, and the movie hit it right on, the nail on the head with that one.
Oh man, I like every time I rewatch the movie, I expect a few things. Alpacas, and Nick Cage taking a shotgun to said alpacas later in the film. And I never thought I needed to hear Nick Cage rant about alpacas and have a milking scene of said alpacas. But after Color Out of Space, I realized I needed it.
Yeah,
And
and that's a great point. Like for as much hopelessness as there is in this movie, like there is humor too. There are moments of levity or absurdity where you're allowed to laugh a little bit and like, oh, okay,
yeah,
like
and
it's not a complete soul draining affair. Like,
yeah,
there's some fun parts.
it what that movie captures so well, and one of the best aspects of it, because this gets torn apart in horror so much, is the tones. In that movie, like it's so rare to see tones like that mesh so well, because you think that the comedy or the ludicrous lines that Nick Cage is spouting would ruin the more intense moments, but they totally mesh. And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Like, you're watching and you're like, I just laughed my ass off and now I'm like crying because I'm terrified. And it doesn't make any sense how it works, but it just does.
Right. I know exactly what you mean. Speaking of those alpacas, I just want to like, there are some actual like physical monsters in this movie as well. What do you think about those effects and bring it, like what that did to the story?
Oh my God. So I like instantly when I was in the theater and that came on, instant the thing. Like during that entire scene, that's almost all I could think of was this is like taking so many aspects of so many other great movies and like it's so great. And the effects are great and it's like it's brutal. It's and it once again, like it doesn't show you everything. It shows you brief glimpses, and you never really get a, like, you kind of do, but you never quite get a wide shot of anything. And it makes what you're not, because it leaves just enough to the imagination to where you're like, oh my God, like, what's actually going on here? And it's, oh, and when it gets blood soaked, the blood is insane, and
It's
it
just,
mixes.
yeah, what?
Oh, it mixes practical and CG pretty well too.
Again, with
Especially,
yeah.
yeah, especially considering its budget. It was only shot on 5 million.
Man.
And like they get every penny out of that. Like it looks better than a lot of like horror movies that are released with twice or three times the budget.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how like the CG sometimes you can tell it, you can definitely tell it's CG, but it kind of works because it adds that level of like fantasticalness. I don't know how to describe it because like when it's using CG, you can tell it's CG and you can tell it's not there, but that's part of what makes it so effective is that like it's foreign and it feels so foreign.
I know what you mean. Like, in a sort of cool way, the subject matter of the movie itself, or the fantastical, like just kind of made up nature of the color out of space, like, you can kind of lean a little bit more into that kind of B movie, poor special effects that
Yeah.
you could probably get away with, if more so than if this was just like, some creature feature about a shark. I don't know, to say. Yeah, totally. But those practical effects are really good.
Oh, man.
Total thing. The one, so the when the mother and son are
Oh, the
enjoying, like it's one thing to have a bunch of, animals kind of mixed up together.
Yeah.
And you go, that's cool and gnarly and gross. But then when it's like the emotional heart of the story and like the humans you're caring about, that was really effective in making me feel those feelings of dread and hopelessness that Lovecraft wants me to feel.
Totally. And another thing that puts the icing on the cake of those scenes involving the I don't even know what to call it. Like, that's the point of Lovecraft. You don't really know what it is. And
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It was,
it,
and that's also why I'm gonna feature the thing at the movie. I'm gonna go live with a friend in a couple weeks to talk about the thing, because it's not a Lovecraft story, but it's clearly part of that same genre of cosmic horror.
Yeah, and it's so well done.
Yeah.
And with with those scenes involving the mom and the son doing their thing, another thing that stood out so much that made it so much more terrifying are the sound effects and the noises.
Yeah,
The
good point.
shrieking and like the subtle sound effects and the subtle movements that this thing is making, it's just you're watching it, you're like, oh my God, I
Yeah,
kind of want to look
it
away,
was,
but it's also
yep.
like, and
Yeah.
I don't get queasy very often, but wow, that was like when I saw it in the theater, I was like, oh, they really went there, didn't they?
Yeah, and just like the idea of what we're looking at, even though we don't know what we're
Yeah.
looking at, it's
And you never, once again, you don't really ever get a wide shot of it. It's all hidden away.
yeah.
And it plays into that Jaws factor where hearing it and having it be there in the shot, just lingering and just sitting there. And it's so much more terrifying because they
Yeah.
could have easily just showed off a, it probably would have been really good, but they could have shown off some effects, but it might have lessened the impact of those scenes.
Yeah, probably. Because
And
it just beca yeah, because then, I don't know. Your imagination is always scarier than what is
totally.
actually seen. Which is why
And
like the color itself is such, like I said, this nebulous entity doesn't have a shape, doesn't have a, is it, what is it? Like, that's kind of scary. Like, it's silly, but it's kind of scary. Like, take away, it could be anything, just like this shapeless
Yeah.
thing that takes over. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
and
good stuff.
it's also like there's some scenes with Nick Cage where sure he has funny moments, definitely, and some moments where you're just like, I can't believe that they actually wrote that line and that they went through with that, but I love it.
Yeah.
And but there's some scenes where he's genuinely effective at playing this like shell of a person. And when it's so crazy when you're watching these characters react to this thing, like they don't react almost at all sometimes. And like Nick Cage plays off some of these scenes of horror, like, oh, it's just another day in the day in like the barn, and that kind of adds to it because you're like, are they going so insane to where like seeing these horrific things don't even really, like, they don't do anything to their brain, or they're
Yeah.
so far gone and so messed up that there's
Yeah.
just no hope.
Yeah, the one thing, so I guess I have like a really low expectation of Nick Cage these days, because he does have like this like a Christopher Walken like caricature he goes into. And he did do that at one point in this movie, and it took me out of it a little bit, because I was like, oh, now you're just doing the Nick Cage thing. With that said, most of the movie he actually is pretty even keeled and just plays the part honestly.
Yeah.
And I thought he was really effective, actually. I thought he was really good.
Totally. And one thing we do need to talk about, because you can't mention Color of Space without talking about Tommy Chong.
Oh man. Yeah, you want to
He
talk about the humor in the movie. Like, yeah.
I was worried about it going into it, 'cause I was like, is this gonna work? And then I see it and I'm just like, the cat's name and everything
Yeah.
going on with it. I'm just like, man, if this movie, like, every time I watch it, I always think, oh, there's no way it's gonna get crazier. And then you get Tommy Chong with his cat, and you're like, it just got crazier.
Yeah,
And
crazier, but still believable within the
yeah.
world we've built, right? It's still, you could still go there. It's like, oh yeah, sure. There, I believe that there's a this psychedelic hermit who lives in the woods. Totally buy that.
Yeah, and there's when you get into the more horror, cosmic horror aspects of the third act, and the voiceover and the narration is
Yeah.
so chilling,
Yeah.
and it's dark and disturbing, and then you get your final scene, which I'm gonna try and dance around it, but when you kind of it adds that nihilism where there's truly nothing left, and like what hope is there, and what hope what is there to latch on to?
And what happens next?
Yeah,
Like,
and
the color is still out there. Like,
yeah,
evil was not defeated.
no, if anything, we got defeated.
Yeah. It'll be
And
back.
yeah, and something that gives me hope for more quality Lovecraft adaptations moving forward is the fact that Richard Stanley's doing a trilogy.
I was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know about, I'm sure you know the Dunwich Horror story.
Oh,
I mean,
I can't
yeah.
wait.
It's
I
like
it
to if we got that movie on the level of quality as Color Out of Space, like, just take all my money, like,
Yeah, take all my money and
take
then
my right
some.
arm, like, that's what I
Yeah, and it the last I heard about it, Richard Stanley kind of wrote it during quarantine. Like, he kind of took
want.
quarantine to really like iron out the script. So it is in development.
Okay.
But of course the world shutting down kind of put a damper on that a little bit, because
Right.
yeah. But the Color Out of Space actually, for its one night release, I forgot what it pulled in, but the studio saw the amount it pulled in. It was opened in like 20 theaters worldwide, and I think it cracked the top 10,
There you
and
go.
it had a crazy per theater average, and the studio saw that and they were like, okay, yep, we're doing
Yeah,
this.
like it, you know, the movie, the subject matter just needs a director, like Richard Stanley or Guillermo del Toro, who's wanted to do his own adaptations, who like understands how to do this story. Because I think it's exceptionally difficult to pull this off. To pull off what
It's
Color Out of Space did,
there are
it could easily have been a really cheap, terrible movie, and then
right.
nobody would be talking about it. And yeah.
They actually came out with a Color Out of Space, I think it was the early 2010s, and it was exactly what I was afraid, that this movie was going to be. It's low budget trash, just
Yeah.
with zero, just no effort thrown behind it. And that's unfortunately a lot of what Lovecraft adaptations are. They're just low
Right.
budget trash. And some of them are fun in that way.
Right.
Like, you got Dagon and a ton of other low budget wacky movies. But I'm feeling a little bit of a Lovecraft resurgence lately.
I hope so. I mean, there's just a, in general, there's just been this great horror resurgence of and I mean like getting away from like torture porn and like slasher movies, which were really popular like 10 years ago. Now I feel like with like this or The Invisible Man, there's kind of or like The Lighthouse or The Witch, Midsommar. I mean, there's a lot, but like these are like more cerebral, slow burn, psychological type horror movies.
And you get like recently there's been a really huge resurgence of cosmic horror and like great cosmic horror like Annihilation and a ton of other crazy just like movies that like you're watching, you're like, someone actually approved of this? Can I go give them $1 million and like all of my heart and soul?
Yeah, I think there's an audience out there for it that hopefully Hollywood realizes and still don't just like create, 'cause you could throw all the money at the world at a project and it could still be terrible. I hope they still continue to hire the Richard Stanleys of the world who understand how to do these movies well and give us what we want.
Lovecraft requires such a deep understanding of that material. It's so easy to mess up. There's, like I've said, there's countless adaptations that just are not Lovecraft. They take Lovecraft and they're like, "Oh, people want monsters." And just like, "Yes. I'll take a monster, but also that's not really Lovecraft if you're just throwing a monster at my face and hoping for the best." And yeah, it's Lovecraft has had a resurgence lately, and we've had so many great Lovecraft adaptations. Like John Carpenter has made his own fair share of craziness, and I can't wait to see what the 2020s have to offer for cosmic horror because wow.
We're just getting started. All right.
Just
Thank you,
getting
man.
started.
This has been a real treat. Thanks for coming on again.
Of course.
And yeah, let's keep the line of communication open. I've got some I don't know. I'm always posting stuff. So if you see something, you're like, oh, let's talk about that. I'm like, I'll have you on anytime. So
Of course. I love being on here to talk about wacky stuff and yeah,
Camp
I love all
Kaiju
of
talking about
it.
wacky stuff.
You should trademark
Yeah, I'll get that on a t-shirt next.
that.
Watch some good movies and I'll catch you later.
I'll catch you later. Have a
See ya.
great night.
You too. All right. Thank you all for hanging out with me and Cameron. We talked Color Out of Space. We talked some monster movies some monsters in that movie, some monsters in some other movies. And yeah, some really great stuff. Engage, like, follow Camp Kaiju on Instagram. Buy a t-shirt. We have this one available, another one coming out in time for October. And the link for that is right in the bio. Super easy to click. And yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Next week, I will be discussing The Fly remake, the one from the 80s, with Matt Levine, a film critic buddy of mine. And then the week after that, I will be discussing The Thing with a very special guest, a friend of mine from the Mysterious Old Radio Listening Society. Knock wood that he is still on for that. So stay tuned, hit the little bell, and let me know what you think. All right, watch some good movies, y'all. See ya.